Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. For the next hour or so, we'll be featuring some great region music live in studio, as well as cuts off a new album called Mongrel in the Cobwebs. We've got the Closets joining us momentarily. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and also for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio. Stream us worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org and, of course, tune in daily at 89.1 FM on your dial. Stay with us after your headlines. We're going to open the closets and see what comes out. It's all coming up next. Good evening, and thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide wherever you may be at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, your host of this little program we call Midwest Beat, which is all about music and the people who make it. Tonight, we'll be opening the closet. No pun intended. Actually, yes, it is intended. We're going to see what comes out of the closet tonight. See if we can shake the cobwebs off of some things, because we have the Closets. They're live in the studio with guitars in hand. We've got some recorded music. We'll be talking to the guys. We'll be playing some music, and we'll be introducing you to one of the younger bands coming up the ranks in Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland. The Closets are coming up, but right now, let's take a look inside.
See?
Lakeshore listeners, you've just been taken inside the closet. Inside the closet. That's right. The band is the closets. It's not even a band, really. It's like a collective of creative people that kind of channeled themselves through my guest here tonight, Aristotle Galanis. Describe what you guys are exactly, because you're not really a band. You're sometimes a duo. You're sometimes a single.
Correct.
So how do you define what the Cobwebs or not the Cobwebs, or but the closets are?
Yeah. Well, you know, like a lot of my influences are like the place we all kind of met at Paul Henry's. It's kind of a thing like, you know, you could have your own thing going on, but, you know, eventually you're like, hey, guys, you know, join in on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether if it's input on a music video or input on recording something or putting a guitar lick on something, it's kind of in that spirit. I mean, whether the way Bruce Springsteen had his E Street Band or...
And then came around and did Nebraska on his own.
Right.
Yeah, so it's or kind of that.
Nine Inch Nails with Trent Reznor. Yeah, mm-hmm. So different collaborators. You know.
So is there a definitive sound that the Closets have? If you had to say to a stranger on the street, I'm a musician and I play blank.
You know, the most successful terms nowadays that fly with everybody would probably be like, you know, indie or alternative or whatever. But but to my heart, I would say like, you know, singer-songwriter, folk, rock and roll, you know, psychedelic. It's all those different terms and stuff, but overall just, you know, alternative. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some interesting distortion and effects on that song, The Inside.
Like some reverb.
Or Inside. So where did you produce this, and who was involved in the productions of it?
My basement with a Tapco C12 mixer from, like, the 70s.
So you're doing it yourself?
Yeah. Basically, it's a lot of trial and error. I've been doing it since I was like 15 recording, so it's kind of just, you know, you do it enough times that, you know, kind of get the hang of it, sort of.
Now, what I was confused on is if you go online, you have, it's correct, talking about several EPs and mm-hmm, releases.
Right.
But the only one I'm really aware of is the vinyl that you have, Mongrel and the Cobwebs.
Well, this is, I'll clear it up. This is it's a compilation of songs from the second and third album of The Closet. So it's the second album is These Cobwebs.
Okay.
And then the third album is Mongrel in the Middle. So it's kind of like meshing them together.
Okay.
Because they used to do that a lot in the 60s and 70s too. They would, you know, have these paired releases kind of, or, you know, or even like Yesterday and Today by the Beatles or something, or, you know, where you have some from Revolver, some from Rubber Soul.
Right.
So I thought that would be kind of a cool thing. And they're actually different versions of those songs versus the ones you hear on the actual original releases, so I thought it'd be like a fun little, you know, niche thing to put out.
Now, this is a vinyl. Were the others digital? Were they CD? Were they cassette? What were they?
They were digital.
Okay.
Mostly, you know. You know, I did one thing with Region Records, like a really small tape run, cassette run, and for my own fun, I got an 8-track recorder machine and I sold some online. So that was pretty fun, 8-track. And that seemed to pick up. I should get back into that because it's just so niche and so weird.
8-tracks actually still sell.
They do.
Yeah. I wouldn't say a fair amount, but I sell the occasional 8-track here and there over at the record bin.
It's just so 70s. Like, it's so product of that era. You know, like, it's...
Do you have to put the click in the middle of your song?
Click, click, click.
That's kind of crazy. You brought your guitar. We're going to play a couple live songs. Mm-hmm. How many songs would you say at this point you have that you can play out in the show? Originals.
Oh, man. Originals? Mm-hmm. Well, if I go by, you know, the albums I have out now, 18 plus, like, probably, like, if, off the top of my head, probably about, like, 60, maybe.
Okay.
So.
All that you've written on your own, or do you collaborate?
On my own.
Okay.
It's more of the recordings that are sometimes collaborations, like, you know, like, Brett kind of comes in with a certain drum beat.
No, Brett is who?
Brett Butler is my mainstay drummer, basically.
Okay.
Especially live, you know, because sometimes like it's in and out sometimes of recordings. But as far as playing out live and things like that, or, you know, when I tell people, it's like, yeah, you know, Brett's my drummer. So, yeah.
Now, he's the blonde guy that's in the picture.
Correct,
we're running.
Yeah.
Okay. And where's he at tonight?
It's his dad's birthday, actually.
Okay, so we'll forgive him for that.
Yeah.
He's MIA, taking care of the pops.
Yeah, he's getting cross.
Let's talk about how this all began for you. Your bio says Aristotle began performing about age 14. So what inspired you? What made you want to do this?
Well, you know, I was going through a lot of, like, tough patches and stuff. My dad just recently passed away around that time, and just the normal high school spells and stuff of kind of trying to fit in. And I was listening to you know, a lot of garage rock stuff, whether if it's, you know, the Stones or CBGB era stuff, or Lou Reed, the Kinks, all that stuff. And a lot of that stuff had the same thing where it's it didn't seem that hard to do, really.
A lot of chords.
Yeah, like a few chords, and then plus the message too is a lot about the message. You're kind of just scoping out, you know, what you saw in life. You know, whether if it be, you know, from a really deep, you know, anger-filled state, or if it was, you know, very lustful, or if it was political, or whatever it was. So that's kind of what made me really get into music.
Is guitar your instrument of choice from the beginning?
From the beginning, yeah, but I've also kind of like dabbled on keyboards since then, to the point that now, like, you know, I probably equally jump from guitar to keyboard.
And you play harmonica too?
A little bit. Well, actually, on that recording, actually, is Elliot. Actually,
okay.
Elliot Ravella. But I play a little harp too.
Okay. So when you do a live show, define what a live show might be like. If you're playing it at a unplugged event or something, you get keys, you get guitar, you get your harmonica.
It could be a live event. Usually, it's been anything from me on my own to a four piece.
Okay.
So you know, it could be me on my own at an open mic thing like Paul Henry's Art Gallery, or it could be, you know, us like when we were at Reggie's and it was, you know, me on acoustic electric guitar, vocals, person on lead electric, and then bass, and then drums.
So when were you at Reggie's?
I was at Reggie's, was it November or December of 2019?
So, okay.
Yeah, it was like, it was kind of like a bigger bill, and there's like, you know, a bunch of bands on there, like, you know, half a dozen bands, nine bands. So, but we're still privileged to be on that bill, you know. And
it's a strange venue. It's kind of beat up, but it's also
wall,
very respected in some ways.
Right.
I mean, some big names have played there. And I did a few shows there back in the day, and great, great venue. What kind of response did you get?
We got a good response, and all the, like, especially too, like, the, which is always good, even more sometimes in the audience, because sometimes the audience are caught up in, you know, the booze or whatever else. But, you know, the other band seemed to really respect us and stuff, and we kind of had, like, you know, we kind of just respected each other's genres and.
Was it a mix of styles, or was it
mostly
acoustic?
It was a mix of styles. It wasn't. You know, because our stuff, you know, when you make it electric, it, you know, it kind of takes on a whole different feel in a way. It becomes more garagey, a little more punky, kind of, and, you know, there's a lot of free reign, especially when now I'm looking to add keyboards to it that could add a whole different flavor to it. So,
okay.
But the other bands there, it was, you know, it was a long time ago, but it was. You know, there were some punky type bands, some jam bands, some, you know, it's a variety. So.
Just to play in Chicago, though, is pretty cool for
a
young act. How did the audience differ? Obviously, out here, a lot of people know you. They know you from Paul Henry's. They know you from being in the neighborhoods. But you go up to Chicago. You're a new kid. So how did that, how did you distinguish between the audiences? What was it like?
You know, like, you just kind of feel more humble. You feel humbled, kind of, you know. They respect you to an extent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you kind of got to put yourself out there over there. You know, you can't just, you know, present yourself like you do over here. You know, like where there isn't as much, you know, competition going on around here as much. So it's just, you know, it's good, though. It makes you work harder at it overall, so. Yeah, and recently we just put our record, during this pandemic, we have our records now at Sugar Records and Reckless Records and on the north side. So.
Well, we've sold a couple over at the record bin.
Yeah.
Three out of the four that we had in have sold already.
Mm-hmm.
How is it selling elsewhere?
It's selling pretty good. I had a friend of mine, he directed the documentary about Paul Williams, the songwriter, Stephen Kessler. He actually got nominated, I think, he used to do commercials for... like, I think he got an Emmy for it. But anyways, besides that, he actually ordered, like, a big handful of the vinyls and stuff, and he lives out in Santa Monica, I believe. So, you know, there's been a few shock things like that, or I have, like, a fan out in, you know, London that bought a couple copies, too. So, you know.
So do you ship out?
Yeah, I could ship out.
Okay. Now, do you sell independently, or do you go through a distributor?
I sell independently at the moment, but distributor wouldn't, you know, be bad either.
Right.
You
know, well, let's have you play something. What do you want to play?
I'll play These Cobwebs, the title track from my second album, These Cobwebs.
And this is also featured on the album.
Correct. Correct. It's so, what is it? I think it's on the first side, I believe.
Are you doing basically the version? Because you change it around. You're kind of like Neil Young. You change
kind of,
things.
Yeah.
And Dylan, where you can hear you do one song, and then 2 days later you hear it and it sounds completely different, or you got accompaniment.
Keeps you interested. Because
exactly.
I have alternate versions of the song alone, you know. So let me just...
So the version you're going to play now, since you're playing on your own with the guitar and voice, is it similar to what we're going to hear if we buy the album and drop the needle on it?
I would say so. If you strip away all the other instruments, yeah. Because, you know, obviously this is just, you know, guitar and vocals. So I would say it pretty much does the record justice.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna hear this one. This is...
These Cobwebs.
These Cobwebs. It's the title track, or half the title track, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there a combo, a mashup? Aristotle Galanis is our guest, and he's brought a few friends with him. We'll be talking to them in just a few minutes. But whenever you're ready, let's do it.
All right. All righty.
The day we first met, my troubles seemed to end. Though sometimes I forget to you, I'm just a friend. I guess I start a conflict for coming into view. By default, I should restrict myself from only you. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs ought to stay unless a helping hand, if only. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs ought to stay unless a helping hand, if only. Day after day, I'm covered in mounds of dust. I'm always wondering who'll wipe them away. I guess another day I'll lust. I look at your picture in the shattered frame. Beside my bed I cry. No, it's only possible in my head to have you by my side. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs ought to stay unless a helping hand, if only. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs ought to stay unless a helping hand, if only. I see her across the room as my face turns pale. But I don't even ever stand a chance as my darkness prevails. Dreams of her distract me dust till dawn. But if only love was a candle that you could wish upon. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs ought to stay unless a helping hand, if only. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs ought to stay unless a helping hand, if only. Thank you.
Hey. All right. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Cobwebs. Yeah. They're everywhere. Yep. They're in the closet.
Yeah.
And we are in the closet tonight here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Lounges. This is Midwest Beat. Jose is in the engineer seat, as always. Jose, what are you thinking about some of this stuff? You're into the newer music, the alternative and the minimalistic and all that fun stuff that you throw at me every week.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
You know, you got to teach the old dog here new tricks once in a while.
No, I definitely hear the Lou Reed influence.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I absolutely love Velvet Underground, yeah. And that's...
one I always go to is Ray Davies, the Kinks.
Oh, I can hear. I also hear a lot of, I think it's Blur.
Blur?
Yeah.
Like that type of like Britpop stuff?
Yeah. I immediately went to the Gorillaz. A lot of the Gorillaz stuff.
Do you know Pavement?
Pavement. I don't think I've heard of.
Radiohead.
Radiohead, definitely.
The keyboards, I definitely draw a lot from them, like the synthesizers and stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to pick up that vinyl because I really liking your sound.
Thank
and
you.
You have a great voice for that, too.
I really like it.
I just happen to have an extra copy at the store
with
your name on it.
Maybe that fourth copy will
there
be
there you go. All
yeah,
right.
Vintage copy with Jose.
Let's talk a little bit, Aristotle, about the songwriting. You mentioned that you've got about 60 original songs at this point.
Well, I have a little more than that, but as far as ones off the top of my head. So.
Okay.
And then I always under construction ones always.
So you started around 14, 15 years old.
Correct.
You are not that old now.
Yeah, I'm 20. I'll be 21 this year.
That's a lot of songs to pack into a couple of years.
Yeah.
Where does it come from?
I don't know. I kind of just came to, you know, kind of crack the code in a way. It's just kind of, you know, it's almost like being a journalist or kind of taking notes. It's just looking at things in a certain way. You know, like a lot of times now, like if I can't come up with ideas, I'll just
watch the
take
news.
I'll take little notes, you know, like, you know, let me write a song about, you know, let me write a song about, you know, Lakeshore. Let me write a song about this or, you know, this experience or whatever. Or, like if I come up with one little line or one little rhyme, I just pocket that, you
mm-hmm.
know. So it's a lot of those things, and then sometimes all of a sudden you have, you know, this is almost the McCartney way, where you have, you know, three different stanzas that, you know, originally weren't supposed to be the, you know, one song,
mm-hmm.
but you realize they're all the same theme, so you're like, you know, let me just blend them together, and you have a 3-minute song.
So Cobwebs, the song you just played, where did that come from?
So the whole theme of these Cobwebs, the album, which, you know, that's obviously the title track, is, you know, a lot of people in friendships and relationships that fall out that you kind of, you know, like looking at a picture, you have something that distorts it, like cobwebs or grains on a photo, and, you know, like that represents a memory. A lot of people just look at it for the, you know, the best of that or the worst of that, and the cobwebs are kind of just distorting that photographic memory.
Okay.
So,
it sounded a little bit like it was, the subject singing was in a state of confusion, trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Where he or her was.
Yeah. I would say so to an extent. Yeah. These cobwebs are to stay. If I was made this way, then why am I so lonely? I guess these cobwebs are to stay unless a helping hand, if only. That's the reprise. So, yeah.
It seems like there's an interesting story behind the cover of this as well. There's snapshots. There's distorted pictures.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a postage stamp.
Correct. Yeah,
your face is floating all over the place, but not in a hey, look at me, I'm a pretty boy rock and roller.
Right.
It's like it's the distortion screams that there is confusion in a lot of what you do. Maybe you're singing to the forgotten, singing to the misfit clan that's out there.
It goes with the Kinks, the Misfits, you know.
Yeah.
But to go with that, I think the whole thing of feeling confusion and stuff, I feel like that's what really ties it in with the mongrel thing, mongrel in the middle, because obviously mongrel's like feeling like a mutt or
mm-hmm.
in the middle. So that's the whole album, Mongrel in the Middle, which is the half of this, that the title track, Mongrel in the Middle, it's like curled beneath my loner bed, she's trying to figure out which pillow side I like the least, and then the chorus is, I guess life is just a compromise, even if you amount it up to lies. So it goes through all these different things that you might feel in the middle of, politically, emotionally, you know, philosophically, you know, and socially, and it kind of just goes through all these different things. It's like you're kind of going through a real life purgatory, kind of like you feel like you're, you know, stuck in the middle, kind of, you
mm-hmm.
know, of life. So that's what Mongrel in the Middle is about, and these cobwebs is more kind of about examining memories of relationships and friendships with people, and trying to kind of just basically dust the cobwebs off of that and look at it for fully what it is, which kind of explains all of the, you know, pictures and Polaroids and things.
It's definitely an interesting concept. When you brought the album in, I was like, this is definitely different. It doesn't look like your typical, and all your different fonts. You use different fonts on the song.
Oh, that's true,
titles.
Yeah. The, like,
that's
the
what
cobwebs
makes me think
cursive
the confusion, because right. It's like, I can't really make up what I want, so I'm going to throw it all together on the wall and see what sticks, and it came out as a piece of art.
Right. Well, these cobwebs, it's funny. If you look at all the stuff with the cobweb stuff, it's all in cursive, and then the Mongrel stuff is all in kind of like a typewriter font. So
right.
It has its own kind of like little look or aesthetic for each album, sort of.
And you get coat hangers in your head.
Oh, coat hangers, yeah.
Because there's always a coat hanger in the closet.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that name, The Closets. Where did that come from?
Just comes from kind of being like, you know, like skeletons in the closet and like hiding behind a lot of different things. Like I have a song called Behind a Mask. Just like hiding behind different things. And I realized that, you know, all the reasons I kind of get provoked to write something is because I'm feeling some type of, or for someone else, because I write vicariously too. Like, you know, what are they thinking? So it's always something that they're, you know, hiding, or that they, some type of extreme emotion in terms of anger, lust or happiness or whatever that you can't just really evoke. So that's something you're kind of throwing in the closet, kind of. So that's kind of what I try to do, or whether if it's socially observant or if it's, you know, reflective in yourself or whatever it may be.
Now, how can people find out more about you, follow you? You've brought some of your posse here, some of your team. Eric is here. Aaliyah is here. Tell me who these folks are and what they do as far as the Closets organization.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a collective kind of. So Eric Rasmussen.
Hello.
Yeah. I met him at Paul Henry's at one of their punk gigs.
Okay. Are you a musician also?
Well, it's just more of like a kind of a side hobby for me right now.
Okay.
I'm continuously improving my skills, and I might start up a project of my own, but
we've collaborated on some of our experimental noise projects.
Mm-hmm. Another like metal machine music kind of noise?
Kind of. And then we've done some ambient Brian Eno-esque type stuff too. So it's like a thing that, you know, because he's really into, he's introduced me to a lot of different stuff, like, you know, newer industrial stuff and gothic stuff. So he's kind of almost like my librarian sometimes in some way, showing me new, you know, new bands and stuff. So like almost how Jose is kind of with you, teaching the old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
So because I'm always have my head into old vinyls and stuff, which has its own, you know, merit. But, you know, a lot of times with us, because he comes up with good ideas, he's kind of a gearhead in a way. Like, he knows about, you know, well, we could do this.
So you get sounds. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we had an album, Saltine Suffocato, and that was kind of more noisy with keyboards and the guitars. And then we had Breath of These Blades. And that was like, we literally examined each title of the album, recorded us talking about what does These Cobwebs mean to you? What is Nomadic, what is that title? What comes to mind? And we kind of recorded all this kind of ambient, you know, keyboards and guitars over it. So we've collaborated in that sense, and he's always at the forefront of the videos I make, which the whole video thing with us, that's a whole conversation there that started because COVID hit, and, you know, everybody was doing these, you know, live performance and videos, and that's really cool. But I was thinking, man, there's no live gigs to do now. What's the substitute for that? So we thought, why don't we just, you know, basically convert all that energy that we would have for that, and let's, you know, make these promo videos and music videos. And
I've seen that a lot with a lot of the indie pop and indie rock artists. It's almost like a rebirth in a minimalistic sense of MTV,
where we're seeing
all these artistic, creative people who don't have the commercial backing or a record label, and they do it on a shoestring budget, but you get creative with your garage, your house, your basement, your friends.
Totally. Yeah.
And it carries the music to a different level.
And I always try to, this is the same with my songwriting and inspiration too. You know, the way Springsteen would with Asbury Park, or the way John Prine would with Maywood, Illinois, like I take pride in being in Hammond in this area. I, you know, use it as a, you know, whether if it's visually using that, you know, going filming on Homan Avenue or filming on Kennedy by Hessville Diner or wherever it may be, I try to basically make my own statement out of that, Gene Shepherd Wood or something. So, you know, whether if it's my lyrics too, or, you know, because some people, they feel like they have to move to Paris or they have to move to you know, London, and that has its own merit too. But like, I'm trying to find the merit around here. You know,
there is a bleakness in your sound, and that conveys with Hammond. Hammond has kind of a bleak overtone. It always seems to be gray. It always seems to be very, like you said, Springsteen had Asbury Park. Again, another industrial factory, smoggy area. And yet you capture it in these little vignettes of music.
I'm kind of content in here, too. It's like a double-edged sword, like Mongrel in the Middle. It's like Hammond's a place that's in the middle. Like it's you know, urban, but it's not, you know, like a super big city either. And it's suburban, but it's not as suburban as, you know, your, you know, regular cookie cutter town either, because it has its, you know, history of the Rust Belt and all of that.
Right.
So, and the, you know, the railroads. So, you know, so that puts a lot of influence towards me, because, you know, it's like you're living in a bunch of different little small towns at once. Kind of like if you want to go to Homan Avenue, you know, that's its own flavor. If you want to just, you know, live in suburbia, you could live in Woodmar. You know,
right.
So it's, you know, it's a small little city, but there's I find a lot of, you know, almost like raw beauty in it, kind of.
Are you from Hammond originally?
From, yeah.
Born and raised?
Born and bred, yeah.
Okay. What's next? This album's been out a couple months now.
Correct.
What are you working towards next? What is the next project?
Well, we have an album in April called Greatest Hits. We're putting that out, and it's actually a studio album. It's not a compilation. Let's call it Greatest Hits, you know. And
all new stuff?
All new stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Greatest Hits.
On vinyl as well?
Possibly.
Okay.
We'll see what happens, you know. But, yeah, that's coming out, and then, of course, a lot of other releases too, you know. Because that's the thing we came to realize too, you know, you could have this album out, but let's also put out alternate versions of these songs too, and let's put out a live album coinciding with it too. It's a way to keep people interested, especially in today's digital world.
You got so soon we're going to have an Aristotle box set, which will have all the alternate takes and the false starts.
Yeah,
and then we'll come up with a biography style album like Dylan did, where he takes all the leftovers and puts them together and makes $1 million out of it.
Hopefully, it's better than Self Portrait.
Eric, how long have you been with Aristotle as part of this project?
Well, I originally met Aristotle at a punk show sometime in earlier 2019.
Okay.
And
you from Hammond also?
No, I'm actually from St. John, Indiana.
Okay.
So not too far away. And we just kind of got to talking, and he's asked me to like help out with some music videos and all that, and like, you know, with those two albums.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I've probably been more like participating since like 2020, but before that, and besides that, I'm just like always trying to support him and bounce around ideas with him and all that.
Okay.
It's kind of a collective too, because there's other really good artists in the scene too, like, because with Paul Henry's, you have poets, you have rappers, you have, you know, acoustic troubadours, you have a lot of different things going on. So, you know, like one of my friends, Moises Polito, Moy Boy, his name is Moy Boy Chips Ahoy, his moniker, Moises Polito, you know, he does rap and poetry and stuff, and, you know, we support his stuff too, or, you know, different artists and poets we know. So that's the cool thing with Paul Henry's or a place like that or locally, that, you know, you kind of walk into that and you see everything at once, kind of, you know, and experience everything. And it kind of just makes you automatically.
It's a good networking.
It is good networking. Yeah, totally.
Let's play another song that is recorded. This is this on this album? No, it's not. This is from
Mongrel in the Middle, yeah.
But it's not on this album.
Correct.
Okay. This one is called Strings in a Swing. Tell me about this, and we're going to play it.
Okay, so this is the last track on Mongrel in the Middle, and it's kind of, it definitely has that type of, like, Ray Davies sardonic type of thing to it. You're kind of, like, walking. It's kind of after the whole album about feeling like you're in the middle and examining all those different things, politically, emotionally, socially, whatever. And you're kind of just coming to realize that, you know, I'm fine with kind of being in the middle and just being in the middle of the world, and you're content with that. And about Strings in a Swing, Help Me Trudge Along, that's kind of a reference to a mix of, you know, my guitar, and then also, like, you know, strings, as you hear in the first 10 seconds of the song, it's like kind of like a heavenly euphoria, too. So, like, I feel like the song could mean a lot, but it's basically saying how you feel. You might feel on the outs of society, or like, or just even like mentally, you know, and, you know, you could still kind of just, you know, feel content.
All right, let's listen to it. Strings in a Swing. This is The Closets.
By the way, it's an Al Jolson sample of the first 10 seconds.
All right, there you go. A real throwback for all you that have grandmas listening tonight.
Shout out to the public domain.
Oh, mammy.
traumatic turtle in the depths of its shell, where I'll stuff my belongings and cast before myself a spell. Care less. I guess they want as drunk as cheer around the beam, but you won't even catch me dead playing chess, though, as I count every
Strings in a Swing. That's from...
I caught you at the end.
And there's Al stepping all over me. Oh, mammy. All right. Al Jolson. Where did the Al Jolson reference come from?
Oh, well, you know...
I like
my,
that.
My grandfather, my dad's dad, that was one of his favorite musicians. He was into, like, jazz stuff and all the crooners and stuff. And he would probably be, like, pushing 90 now. But, yeah, he liked him a lot, so I kind of thought, you know, what a way to kind of tie the album up.
I remember discovering Al Jolson when I was about 13.
Really?
And I found an album, and I thought, this guy is wild, man.
Yeah.
And he did the whole blackface thing, and he did the drop into the knee thing, and he was different from what everybody else was doing at the time.
Well, you know, a lot of that stuff isn't honorable nowadays. But he was a, like, for his time, like, he was a good performer.
Yeah.
Like,
at that time, his voice was something else. Interesting character. You take Al Jolson, you take Lou Reed, you take John Prine, you take Dylan and Springsteen, and you throw them in a blender, and you get the closets.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah.
John Prine, interesting, because, of course, he was a Maywood postman.
Correct,
he was part of the Old Town scene here. I remember seeing John back in the day in the clubs and working with Steve Goodman and Bonnie Kolak, and Bonnie has been in here and sat and told stories about John. What was it that brought you to John Prine? He's not one of those guys that's high on the radar.
That's true.
I mean, Lou Reed, Bob Dylan, Springsteen, they're all up there. But
right.
Prine is one of those undiscovered gems in many ways.
That's true. But, you know, like, John Prine, like, he was the, like, he could kind of, like someone else said before, he could kind of make you laugh and cry in, you know, in 3 minutes, three-minute song. So,
did you ever see him perform?
I did, actually. It was probably his last tour at the Ravinia couple years ago. That was a great show, and it was packed, actually. Well, I mean, granted, this is his homeland, so
right.
You know, yeah. But like, he was great till the end. His last album was really good too.
Yeah, he got nominated for a Grammy.
He did. Yeah, he was trying to just get a lot of respect, right at the end. Seemed like, but yeah, John Prine, like another, you know, Randy Newman is another one. So, you know, granted, like,
everybody knows his songs, but they don't know his face or his name.
Yeah.
You know, Mama Told Me Not to Come. I mean, all these great songs.
You Can Leave Your Hat On.
Yeah. That he's written for all these major artists.
Sail Away.
How do people find your videos? We've mentioned multiple songs, multiple videos. How do they find the downloads? How do they watch you? How do they learn about you?
You can find me on Facebook, The Closets, Instagram, The Closets Band. You can find me on YouTube, just typing up probably The Closets Band as well. Spotify, you can listen to me. Any of the major streaming services, you could hear me. On YouTube, Apple Music, Google Play, all that good stuff. Yeah.
Why the decision to go vinyl? I mean, that is not cheap.
That's true, but
a new artist doing vinyl after doing digital.
Kind of just to make a statement, sort of, you know. And you know, no one really else is doing it around this vicinity, really. And I kind of thought, you know, it's always been a bucket list thing, and I figure, why not do it now?
So now you've got your album.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very cool. Where did you get it done at?
I got it done at Discmakers. It's a website.
Okay. Yeah, I knew they did CDs forever. I didn't know they were doing vinyl now, too.
Yeah. They packaged it pretty well.
They did. I was going to say, did you design and have the final say on the package? Who did your packaging?
Yeah, I designed it. Actually, my friend, Gene, he fixed some of the, like, it was originally really pixelated and stuff, so he kind of brushed up some of that.
Because there's no credits on it. You look for the cover design, who produced, who engineered.
To be honest, it was kind of hastily, like, put together, kind of, especially after all the pixelated stuff that dragged it out. They kept rejecting it because, you know, it was too pixelated, which, I mean, actually kind of gave some of the grain and stuff too. So
it kind of lends itself to what you want, though.
That's true, and that's what my friend said too. He's like, you know, this might be what you want. So it's a nice mistake. You know?
Okay. So you mentioned, I think it was off air, that you are working on another album.
Correct.
And you're calling it Greatest Hits?
Yeah, it comes out in April, yeah.
And it's a great collection. It's brand new songs, so they are not hits per se, but they are maybe future hits.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're destined to be hits. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me a little about that.
Well, we got some great songs coming up on Greatest Hits. We got a City Trail. That's a great song. We got Steak Fat Mailbox, Basset Hounds. We got that's a kooky song.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. We got Nail Me Down. We got Remnant. That's a great song too. There's just a lot of interesting songs on that album, and I think there's a little something for everybody on Greatest Hits.
Will it be acoustic based or will it be a band album?
Somewhat of a band album in a way, but there's some songs that lean more towards keyboard, some songs that lean more towards a band. It really depends. You know, City Trail is more of a band oriented song, and then you have a song like Remnant, and that's more of, you know, like, kind of synthesized, kind of. So it's a little of everything, kind of, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you doing any anything that's a little different as far as you were talking about noise music, like metal machine music kind of stuff, industrial?
Or like Music for Airports by Brian Eno.
Yeah.
Yeah, like me and Eric right here, like we've done like I think what three of them now type of albums like that where we kind of, you know, we pick a certain theme that kind of coincides with the main album, like These Cobwebs or Mongrel in the Middle, or first album was Amalgamation, that we do something that kind of is in the same vein or the same attitude or whatever, and we kind of run with that. And, you know, whether we choose it to be ambient or choose it to be harsh noise or whatever that may be.
All of this falls under the Closet's name?
It does, yeah. And, you know, that, for instance, that assembly of the Closets is me and Eric. But then you have, you know, the first Closets album that's more, you know, that's more me. And then, you know, my friend Gavin makes a couple appearances on the first album. And, you know, but then you jump to Mongrel in the Middle, and then it's, you know, me and Brett. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Who was featured on that last song?
On the last song, Strings in a Swing? It was me and all the instruments besides Brett on the drums, and then obviously Al was singing too.
Okay.
The strings.
We've met Eric. Tell me about Leah.
Leah?
Hello.
Hello. What is your role here?
What do you do in the closet? I've known Aristotle my whole life. Before probably he was born and all that. But I have been helping out a lot with the music videos, say?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You're filming a little in here tonight. That's why I was wondering what your role was.
Yeah. So just helping out and stuff like that. Usually Aristotle brings the ideas to me and stuff like that of like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to like do this Wizard of Oz-esque music video. Do you want to be a part of it? It's like, sure. And then it's just kept going like, hey, can you film this on Saturday? Hey, can you film this next Saturday? And all that. So
yeah, I have one of the filters pulled out, for instance. It's like a certain, you know, like 70s style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's got that 16 millimeter look.
Yeah. So we kind of run with that a lot, like a certain aesthetic. Okay. If we want to say, oh, let's do one that's kind of 80s-esque or let's do one that's 50s-esque, you know.
So, Aaliyah, are you musical as well?
A little bit.
Dad's a drummer.
Yeah, my dad did drums and stuff like that. Me, a little bit of bass here and there and all of that. Mostly just a listener.
Okay. So you're going to join the band anytime soon?
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. We kind of talked about it. Yeah, to audition. Yeah.
Family has no place here.
Right.
You must audition.
Partridge Family, we're not.
All right, grab your guitar. Let's play another song before we run out of time here. We're getting close.
I'm afraid to say it, but I'm going to have to sit this one out.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a topical song. I wrote
it. Is this new?
A couple years ago. It's from Mongrel in the Middle, so basically new. The song's about all the political stuff, seeing all the chaos on both sides. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, either writing like very much in pro of, you know, the red or the blue or whatever. And this is kind of when things get, you hear so much vitriol and things get so chaotic that I'm kind of just taking a pacifist stance of, you know, I'm going to sit this one out.
And sitting it out. All right. We are live on Lakeshore 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And with us is Aristotle Galanis, and he is, he's in the closet.
Their lips are foaming up with vengeance. They won't even let you blurt a sentence. Guess I'll sit here and pout and sit this one out. Out. I'm gonna sit this one out. They're more woke than ever to some existential drivel. Try to unbake a cake and make a raw steak sizzle about. I'm gonna sit this one out without a doubt. I'm gonna sit this one out They play that you're on your team, but in law you're not held to high esteem. There's really no route. Guess I'm gonna have to sit this one out. Shoes flying, sirens crying, behold statistics piling, and this is what we're about. I'm gonna sit this one out without a doubt. I'm gonna sit this one out. The two opposing forces laid before me their goals, but stop, drop, and rolls my solution to the toll. As I hear the howls and shouts, I'm gonna sit this one out. I try to fix the system, but can't manage my own. Examine yourself down to your flesh and bones and see what you're about. I'm gonna sit this one out watching tantrums boiling till then soon subside. I don't have to be an elder to see this cycling tide go and beat a dead trout. I'm gonna sit this one out. That sacred ridden cow that you bow down beside and kiss, but you throw it in the shredder, and before it's thrown to piss, you're such a scout. I'm gonna sit this one out. Reenacting demonstrations in the nostalgic pastiche. Too big-headed, tries they never practice what they preach. But I'll dwell in self doubt. I'm gonna sit this one out. I'll just collect drought. I'm gonna sit this one out.
Sitting it out on Midwest Beat. That's Aristotle, and the group is, or the project is, called The Closets, and it's been great having you here. Once again, tell us where we can find your stuff real quick.
Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff.
All right, and the album is available in local record stores, right?
Correct. Sugar Records, S&J, Region Records, Town Lodge's Record Bin, Reckless Records.
So you can find it.
Also, that song was dedicated to my friend, manager, Rich Foreman. It's one of his favorite songs of mine. So.
All right. Yeah. Jose, thank you very much for doing what you do all the time. This Friday, we will be back. We'll have Jamie James, who is a music director for Dennis Quaid and the late, great Harry Dean Stanton. And we'll also have, calling us from jolly old England, Mr. Rick Lee of 10 Years After. You saw him on Woodstock. You'll get to talk to him with me this Friday. Live from London, it is Midwest Beat. I'm Lounges, and we are out of here. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay warm, and watch out for the snow. Until next time, adios.